Our next guest says that the market, Mr. Market, in fact, has a pretty bad temper. Let's bring in Tad Revelle. He's Chief Investment Officer of Fixed Income at TCW Group. They've got a ton of money, $130 billion in fixed income assets under management. He joins us on the phone from Los Angeles. Funny headline to your research note, and this was before the Bank of Japan did its thing. I don't know, does that make Mr. Market a little bit happier?
Good morning. I'm not sure that Mr. Market is going to stay mollified for very long. He's obviously had an opportunity this month to demonstrate his opinion as to where 7 years of rate and volatility suppression from central banks have gotten us. And while he's gotten a little bit of candy this morning, I don't think that investors really ought to take this movement in the market as signaling a fundamental change in sentiment. I think, if anything, it further confirms the basic thesis that the central banks have done far too much and accomplished so very little with their activities.
Then why do anything, Tad? Why did the Bank of Japan, if they can't really do much more, and or they've already done enough, then why did the Bank of Japan do even this?
Well, that is actually a very good question. I think that central banks are dominated by a very technocratic frame of mind, and their thought process is that as central banks, we somehow assume responsibility for asset pricing, for go-forward economic growth. In fact, they're assuming responsibility for things that central banks actually cannot deliver on. It's true that central banks can exert a profound influence on asset valuations in the near term, but the connection between getting stock prices higher, getting treasury yields or bond yields or whatever JGB yields lower, and ultimate economic growth is obviously not there. If it were there, we would be experiencing much higher rates of economic growth throughout the world. Remember, we started talking about exit strategies from quantitative easing probably back in the 2010 and 11 timeframe. So here we are with an entire cycle at 0% rates, and as we all saw, GDP printed this morning for Q4 in the U.S., first estimate, at less than 1%. That's all you get for 0% for 7 years?
Amazing.
Yeah, it is really amazing that they haven't got much. Will this help, do you think?
It won't, actually, because the foundational idea of the central banks is that facilitating credit growth promotes long-term economic growth. It doesn't. It rearranges growth, and so it can pull growth forward. It can raise asset prices. It can do a lot of things in the near term that make it look like it's actually doing something. But it's just another version of robbing Peter to pay Paul. Ultimately, one has to accept the notion that interest rates are prices. And if prices don't reflect proper market levels, you're not going to get to optimal outcomes. I mean, there is a reason, after all, why we have capital markets in the first place. Markets are supposed to exist so that investors, in the case of the capital markets, or consumers, in the case of goods markets, can discover the price.
You know,
but nobody knows in advance what that's supposed to be.
Brian, what's fascinating is we criticize the Chinese, right? Chinese officials for getting so involved in their market. Often, you know, they're doing one thing and a different thing, you know, the next day, but they're so involved. If we believe in capitalism, if we believe in letting the markets do their thing, everybody's got to kind of back off, don't we?
You're supposed to do that. That's right. There isn't supposed to be this heavy-handed, we at the Fed or we at the ECB know better than the capital markets. Because if you knew better than the capital markets, we wouldn't actually need the capital markets. We could have, you know, some kind of board in Washington, D.C. that would essentially establish where stock prices are supposed to be and where treasury yields are supposed to be. The central notion of a decentralized economic system is that the information to make the proper decision to promote growth and promote efficiency don't actually exist in Washington or in New York. They exist essentially in the minds of millions of workers and millions of businesses, and you have to give them proper price information so that they make efficient decisions with what they're doing. I mean, in a way, this is really just economics or finance 101, and so your point is quite right, is that the Chinese say, no, we in Beijing know better, and the Fed basically is kind of doing a version of that, maybe a little bit on the lighter side, but the central conceit is still there.
I think we're all afraid what's going to happen if if they're not there? I don't know.
Well, the Fed is, I think that it's a stretch at this point for anyone to believe that the Fed has not put us in a box. They're in a box, and they put the rest of us. And you can see it empirically this way, that through door number one, the Fed ends up doing what Stanley Fisher, who's believed to, you know, speak for Janet Yellen, said a few weeks ago, which is to say, the Fed's going to raise rates four times. Go ahead and do it. Raise rates four times, and you'll see what happens to equity prices. You'll flatten the curve.
Tad.
You'll invert it at the front end. I'm sorry. Yes?
We got to run, but we'll check back with you soon. Stan Fisher, by the way, will be on Bloomberg Radio on Monday. Tad Revelle at TCW Group. This is Bloomberg Radio.